Indra, the king of heaven, said,
Prajanitaha,
recovered. Padama,
of supreme.
Bhavata,
by your lordship.
Trayata,
who are protecting.
Naha,
us.
Swabhadaha,
shares in the sacrifices.
Daitya
akrantam,
afflicted by the demon.
Ridaya
kamalam,
the lotus-like
cores of our hearts.
Tatgraham,
which is actually your residence.
Pratyabodhi,
it has been illuminated.
Kalagrastam,
devoured by time.
Kiyat,
insignificant.
Idam,
this world.
Aho,
alas.
Nata,
O Lord.
Sushrushatam,
for those who are always engaged in the service.
Te,
of you.
Muktihi,
liberation from material bondage.
Te shang,
of them, the pure devotees.
Na,
not.
He,
indeed.
Bahumata,
thought very important.
Narasingha,
of Lord Nrisingadeva.
Half lion and half human being.
Aparai
kim,
then what is the use of other possessions? It's a translation. King Indra said, O Supreme Lord, you are our deliverer and protector. Our shares of sacrifices, which are actually yours, have been recovered from the demon by you. Because the demoniac king, Aranyakashipu, was most fearsome, our hearts, which are your permanent abode, were all overtaken by him. Now, by your presence, the gloom and darkness in our hearts have been dissipated. O Lord, for those who always engage in your service, which is more exalted than liberation, all material opulence is insignificant. They do not even care for liberation, not to speak of the benefits of kama, artha, and dharma. So, purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. In this material world, there are two kinds of people, the devatas, demigods, and the asuras, or demons. Although the demigods are attached to material enjoyment, they are devotees of the Lord who act according to the rules and regulations of the Vedic conjunctions. During the reign of Hiranyakashipu, everyone was disturbed in the routine duties of Vedic civilization. When Hiranyakashipu was killed, all the demigods who had always been disturbed by Hiranyakashipu felt relief in their general way of life. Because the government in Kali Yuga is full of demons, the living conditions of the devotees are always disturbed. Devotees cannot perform yajna, and thus they cannot partake of the remnants of food offered in yajna for the worship of Lord Vishnu. The hearts of the demigods are always filled with fear of the demons, and therefore they cannot think of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The engagement of the demigods is to think of the Lord always within the cores of their hearts. The Lord says in the Bhagavad Gita, in the 6th chapter, text 47, Yoginam api sarvesham madgate nantrakhanam sthavam bhajate yomam same yuktatamo mataha. And of all yogis, he who always abides in me with great faith, worshipping me in transcendental loving service, God bless you, is most intimately united with me in yoga and is the highest of all. The demigods fully absorb themselves in meditation upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead to become perfect yogis. But because of the presence of demons, their hearts are filled with the activities of the demons. Thus their hearts, which are meant to be the abode of the Supreme Lord, are practically occupied by the demons. Wow, they have demons in their heart. All the demigods felt relieved when Hiranyakashipu was dead, for they could easily think of the Lord. They could then receive the results of sacrifices and become happy, even though in the material world. So Sri Indru Vacha, Prachanaka Padma Bhagavata Chayata Nasabhaga, Daicha Krantam Hriya Kamalam Tatyaham Patyabodhi, Kala Drishtam Kiharigam Aho Nata Shushru Shitam Te, Muktis Tisham Nahi Bahu Mata Narasingha Parai Kim. So Om Gana Timananda Shah, Gunanjana Shlakaya Chakshur Nintam Yenitasmai Shigurave Namaha. So the interesting thing about this verse is the difference between pure devotees and sakama devotees is pointed out. There's two types of devotees, nishkama and sakama. So nishkama means basically no desire other than to please the senses of Krishna. What is that? Nidanam, Najanam, Nisundari, Minaravas? You don't know that. Kavitam bha jagadisha kamaye mama janmani janmani shure bhavatad bhakti. That's from the Lord Chaitanya Shikshashika, where Lord Chaitanya prays, I don't want wealth, I don't want beautiful women, because he's a sannyasi, I don't want followers, all I want, nanam dhanam sundari, kavidam, all I want to worship you is life after life, I want to be your devotee, to serve you. Mama janmani janmani shure bhavatad bhakti, ahai tuki tvaye. That's for him, because someone's coffee, his coffee. So that's basically the difference. Whereas the demigods, they have some desire to fulfill, and they often fall into Maya because of that desire, even though they're devotees. They often fall into Maya, just like Indra. Here's an interesting story for you. Keshav, okay, so you're listening to the story, or you're just entertained by the people there. So once upon a time, there was this great sage, Gautama Rishi, had a very beautiful wife named Ahalya. You know the story?
I think so.
Okay, so Indra was performing his duties, and he looks down with his binoculars on what's happening on the earth, and he sees, wow, she's beautiful. And so he thinks, I want to have a relationship with her. So what he does is he comes down, he waits for the sage, goes to the river to take his bath, and then he takes on the same form as the sage. And then he enters into the sage's house where the sage's wife is. And anyway, I think you understand what happened. So then he comes out, and what happens is the sage is coming back at the same time. So the sage, Gautama Rishi, sees himself coming out of the house. Pretty interesting, isn't it? What would you think, Geshe, if you go to your house and you saw yourself walking out of your house at the same time?
I'd feel confused.
Yeah, like if someone took your form, went into your house and got something from your father, got an iPhone from your father or an iPad or something like that, and it was meant for you, you'd get angry, right? And curse him. So this is what happened. Try to get them to understand in terms of their position in life. So Gautama Rishi cursed Indra to become what we told the other day, a eunuch, you know, basically not have any masculinity anymore. And he's so angry with his wife too, that he cursed his two parts of the story. One is she became a stone, but they actually in the Ramayana said she became, in the Valmiki Ramayana said that she became disincarnate, which means like a ghost. That's what the Valmiki Ramayana says. The movie shows her becoming a stone. But anyway, it's a similar type of understanding. So in any case, Indra made a big mistake, right? Big mistake. You know, that's a material desire, trying to exploit someone else's wife. And sometimes Indra is on his throne and being worshipped and praised by the demigods, and his guru walks in. You know his guru's name?
Brihaspati.
And he just ignores his guru. He's thinking, oh, I'm so nice, my wife was here, all the demigods are praising me. And the guru walks in, then the guru runs away, and then what happens? He loses the heavenly kingdom. And then he has to go, this is an interesting story in the Bhagavatam, then he has to go and get another spiritual master, the initiation, gets another spiritual master. He gets dissatisfied with that spiritual master, and he cuts off his spiritual master's head. Pretty good, isn't it? Because the spiritual master also offered oblations to the demons who were part of his maternal family. That was Visvarupa, of course. And he actually cut off his spiritual master's three heads. Nice to have a guru with three heads, wouldn't it? Yeah, I told you the story, because one head was meant for drinking liquor, the other one head was soma rasa, and the other head was for eating prasadam, or whatever. So anyway, but that shows that, you know, Indra, he definitely has his problems. Or when Prithu Maharaj was getting ready to perform like 100 horse sacrifices, Indra kept stealing the horses, because he was worried about his position. And generally, Indra approaches the Lord when there's some difficulty. That's the point. You know, what do they call it? A fair weather friend? You ever heard of that before? It's a fair weather friend. So he meditates on the Lord. He loves the Lord. That's true. But it's sort of mixed. Just like sometimes people may be married, they love their wife, but they also want to go play cricket and do other things. It's a funny example. They want to watch the games, you know, soccer games on TV or something. Just like today, you're having some big game, right? I heard that, like, how many people are coming to the stadium? 80,000 people are coming just to watch some. It's like the zoo, you know, just to watch some gorillas. So that's true. It's just like in ancient Rome, you know, people used to go to the stadium to watch the Jewish people be eaten by lions, or Christians be eaten by lions. Did you know that? They would actually sit in the stadium and then feed the people to the lions. And then in certain countries like Mexico, the people watched the bull being killed. That's called bullfighting. You've heard of that before? No? So there's also, anyway, I'm not going to start criticizing the games, because some people may be attached. But the point is, one may go to the game, so he has some other desires. Like, you know, one could say, you know, he only loves his wife, but actually he has so many other things he wants to do in life too. So in the same way, the demigods are like that. They're like someone's husband. So just like someone's married, they like their wife because the wife cooks for them, you know, those nice rotis and everything like that, and satisfies them. But otherwise, it's not a pure desire. You know, they like because of what she does for them. So the demigods, it's sort of mixed like that. And the pure devotees, it's unmixed. It's unmixed. The word for mixed in Sanskrit is mishra. Like, you have two types of mixed devotional service. One is karma mishra bhakti, the other one is jnana mishra bhakti. Karma mishra means, like the demigods, you want something for worshipping Krishna, but you love Krishna too. And jnana mishra means you want to be liberated, or you want knowledge. Basically, it can be those two things. But if you're a devotee, you just say, I don't want anything. I just want to please you, Krishna. And it comes to the extent, like the gopis, another story for you. Krishna had a headache, you probably know this story. And Narada Muni was told the only way to cure Krishna's headache is what?
To bring
what? Medicine from the doctor.
No.
The dust of devotees' feet. And none of the devotees wanted to offer their dust of the feet because they were afraid they would go to hell, right? So finally, Narada Muni comes to the gopis. And he says to the gopis, do you want to offer the dust of your feet? And the gopi says, sure, take it immediately. And Narada Muni says, aren't you afraid of going to hell? And the gopi said, that's all right. We don't mind going to hell if Krishna is happy. So that's the difference between a pure devotee and an alloyed devotee. You know what the word alloyed means? Alloyed means you mix a metal with something else. Like you have gold. Everybody knows about gold? What's the purest gold?
24
karat. But generally, when you have a ring, you don't have 24 karat gold. You have like 18 karat, 14 karat gold. It's mixed. So the best thing is 24 karat gold, right? So pure devotional service is 24 karat from the heart. 24 karat gold heart. So anyway, so what's interesting here to me, I found quite interesting, is that when the demons are attacking the demigods start thinking of the demons more than Krishna. Isn't that interesting? Prabhupada says this. However, when the demons attack pure devotees, what happens with the pure devotees? They just think of Krishna. It's really interesting, isn't it? Like when Prahlad Maharaj was being harassed by his father, Lord Nrisimha, not Lord Nrisimha, by Hiranyakashipu, then he was simply thinking of Krishna. He wasn't thinking of his father. Or when Haridas Thakur was being whipped in so many marketplaces, you know that story? 22 marketplaces. He wasn't actually thinking of the people who were whipping him, except compassionately. He was thinking of Krishna. He was chanting Krishna's names. And then you have devotees, like pure devotees like the Pandavas, and they're asking for more difficulty. Like Queen Kunti in her prayer, she says, what? Tatra, tatra. Jagat Guru, again and again, give me difficulties. That's a pure devotee. And she said, why? Because apunar bhavadarshanam. Because we don't want to see repeated birth and death in this material world. So you contrast the pure devotees with the mixed devotees, and it's quite interesting that the pure devotees think of Krishna more in difficulty, whereas the impure devotees think of Krishna less in difficulty. And I was actually thinking about this because, you know, recently there's this, you know, news report about the difficulties in the American government and everything like that. You know, I read it. And then I started thinking of it 24 hours a day. You know, and that's the favorite topic of everybody when you come meet them. But actually, we should be praying to Krishna, thinking of Krishna. Just like it's stated that a sannyasi should be in the Bhagavad Gita, it says, Abhaya Shatra Shamshuri Jnana Yogi Vavastati. He should be free from all types of fear. If someone is fearful, that means they're not qualified to be in the renounced order of life or in pure devotion. They're not pure devotees. Someone is fearful. Like you see, Prabhupada's name was what? Abhay Charanara Vinda. What does that mean? You don't know. Keshav, do you know that? Abhay means what? What does Vaya mean? Vaya.
Yeah.
Not Vaya like brother, but Vaya. Fear. And you put the A in front of it, what do you get? Without fear. And what is Charna? You know, you ever heard of the word Charna Sparsh? No? What does it mean?
Lotus feet?
No, Charna Sparsh means the dust of the feet. And then Charna Padma means lotus feet. Padma means like a lotus. So Abhaya Charanaravinda, which means the one who is free of fear, having taken shelter at the Lord's lotus feet. And so this is very, very interesting. It's described by Krishna as a godly quality. Abhaya Shatva Shamshuti Jnana Yoga Vivastati. Because one has actually cultivated the knowledge that Krishna is in charge of everything. Nothing happens without the will. Or like a blade of grass never moves without the will of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this is the important point. I don't want to go on too long here because we have to catch up with the time factor. But devotees think of Krishna more in his difficulty, whereas the mixed devotees, they're actually thinking of what they've lost. And the demigods, they actually go to Krishna. You specifically see this all the time. Whenever there's some problem, they go to Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma goes with the demigods to the shore of the ocean of milk. And what do? They pray to Lord Vishnu to help. And then Vishnu appears and helps them. Which is nice, these are his pastimes. But at the same time, they want something from him. And we see that also in most of the performances, like say the Satyanarayan Katha. You have this? You ever heard of that before? They haven't heard of that. But some of you adults have heard of Satyanarayan Katha, right? That's where you're encouraged to do devotional service because of what you may get for it. And in modern Christianity is like that too. It's very interesting. there's this name for it, which I forget right now, like, that if you worship God properly, you'll be rich, and then you have people go to the church telling each other how they worship God, and they actually became rich, or they overcame their problems like that. But that's not actually the fruit of the worship of God. The fruit of the worship of God is pure devotional service. Okay, so any questions or comments? I wanted to keep it short. Why was she cursed? Because she actually knew it was Indra, and she felt some lust towards him. Yeah, that's described. I mean, that was a question I had when I first read that story. You know, poor innocent girl, you know. But, you know whether it's your husband, even if the husband comes in a different form. I mean, just like that, or if someone comes in your husband's form, just like that story of Chaivanamuni. Chaivanamuni, this is an interesting story, the kids would like that. He was an old sage, like 95 years old. You know, have you ever seen anyone 95 years old? They look really old, they're wrinkled, and gray hair, and just like a prune, with eyes on it. You know what a prune is?
Yeah.
And so you can imagine put eyes on a prune?
Oh, I remember.
So this young girl, Sukanya, got married to him. And she was like 16 years old. And she married this like old wrinkled prune guy. And the reason she married him is because she had offended him because he was meditating underneath the ground. And he was actually looking at, Prabhupada describes it in a funny way. He was actually looking at her from the hole. Where he was underground, with the young man, like that. And she pierced the eye, or hurt the eye, with some grass, because she just saw this shiny object underground. And then, as a result of that, her father's soldiers, because her father was Maharaj Sariyati, her father's soldiers actually developed digestive problems. In other words, they all had constipation. And they couldn't function anymore. So, and then the father, understanding the girl had offended the sage, offered the girl to the sage because he understood that the sage was looking at her when he had his eyes poked. Anyway, so she got married and she was very chaste to the sage. And he was, also another thing is when you get old, you get a bad temper too. Did you know that? You knew that, Geshe. Like, older people just don't have, aren't as sweet as the young people that have bad tempers. I used to have a lot. I used to have the old lady teachers who were never married.
Oh.
They were like Putinas, you know.
Oh.
Anyone have teachers like that? Anyway, so it's funny. So you get, he gets cranky. You know what cranky means? He's like, I have a bad temper. But she is a chaste lady. You know, only 16, by that time 17 or something. She was serving him nicely. And she loved him. This is actually the Vedic system. That even if you marry someone who is like 99 years old, you remain faithful to you. I mean, what can you do? I mean, this is Dharma. Because Dharma is considered very important in the Vedic system. So she remained very chaste. So then what happened? Once upon a time, the Ashvini Kumaras came to Chaivanamuni, which was her husband's name, and said to him, that we can make a deal. That we will make you young, so you can be, you can please your wife. We'll give you a young body, like a 20-year-old body, if you allow us to drink the Soma Ras. Soma Ras is like the kava that they have in the heavenly planets. Those of you who come from Fiji know what I'm talking about. You know what kava is?
Yeah.
So it's like a drink. Kava is a drink, and everyone in Fiji drinks it. Not everyone, not the devotees. So they made a deal, but Indra threatened Chaivanamuni. He said, if you give it to them, I'm going to start killing people with my thunderbolt. But Chaivanamuni went ahead and he gave them Soma Ras, And Indra got angry. He tried to fire his thunderbolt, but Chaivana Muni paralyzed Indra's arm like this, so Indra couldn't fire his thunderbolt. So anyway, so then what happened is the Ashwini Kumaras, they're the physicians in the heavenly planets, they said, now we're going to give you youth again. So we'll go into this water, this lake, and all three of us will go down, and we'll all look the same, and your wife is going to have to pick out who's you. And they'll all look exactly the same. Pretty interesting, isn't it? So what happened is they all went into the water and they came out as handsome young men, 20 years old. Like dapper gentlemen, as they say. So they came out of the water and this Sukanya, she looked at them and immediately recognized her husband, even though they all looked exactly the same. That's chastity. Even though they looked the same. You understand? So therefore, talking about that story about, anyway, and so they were pleased, and then she had a young man. I'll tell you that there's more of that story. Anyway, before we get back to the other story about Ahalya. She actually was very happy because she was rewarded by the fruits of her chastity were rewarded, and she got a young husband. And then later on, her father came to visit her, and her father saw her with this young man, and her father said, "You unchaste prostitute! You gave up your dharmic husband to be with this young, useless man." And then she very proudly said, "No, Dad. He's not her." And she explained how he became young again. So it's a nice story, isn't it? That's a Sukanya Chaivana Muni story. It's in the Bhagavatam. And then, getting back to Ahalya, she definitely recognized that it was Indra. And she was, she was just like overwhelmed. Just like if some big Bollywood movie star came to your home, the women would faint, even though they love their husband. I've seen that. Not that they come to the home, usually, but I've seen like the women, they just, even though they love their husbands, they'll watch these Bollywood movies and see, Vivek Oberoi. Or their husbands will watch some Bollywood, female. And even though the husbands love the wife, they'll go, "Isn't she beautiful?" And the wife will say, "What about me?" And the husband will say, "Just be quiet, I'm watching the film." So people become attracted to things like that. So the only person who didn't is Sita Devi. You understand? Because Sita Devi, she was complete. I mean, here was Ravana. Ravana was actually quite a rich guy. It was just like, you can't imagine anyone richer than Ravana. He'd taken over the heavenly planets. He offered her everything. Ravana offered Sita to become her servant. Did you know that? Ravana said, "I'll be your obedient servant." That's pretty good, isn't it? And Sita Devi said, "Get away, you horrid creature." But he's actually handsome. Ravana was not ugly, God. I mean, he was just like, you take a Bollywood star, magnify it, or multiply it like 1 million times, that's Ravana's handsomeness. I mean, if Ravana walked in here, all you ladies would faint. Not out of fear, you'd faint out of love. Because it's described in the Ramayana, when he kidnapped these girls, he was cursed, so he couldn't enjoy them like forcefully. But basically, everyone except for Sita agreed to accept him that he kidnapped. He kidnapped them, and they were screaming and yelling, but when they got there, they looked at him, wow. Ravana, what do they need that puny little husband for, have this powerful Lankeshra, Ravana, isn't it? He's every woman's dream husband. So Indra too, he's pretty handsome. So that's what happened. She had, she slipped. I mean, that happens sometimes, there's a story about Parshuram's mother, Renika. She went to the river one time to fetch something. She saw some Gandharvas enjoying, and she became lusty after the Gandharvas. And then Parashuram's father, Jamadagni, understood that, and he said to his sons, you know, kill your mother. You remember that story? And the sons refused, and then he said to Parashuram, kill your mother. And Parashuram, you don't want to do that. He killed his mother, but he understood that his father had the ability to bring his mother back to life. Because his father offered him that later on. So it was a happy ending. And the mother didn't remember that she was killed by her son. Anyway, so you see, the material energy is so alluring that, what is it? Balavan Indriya Grama Vidvan Ivahi Karshate. You know that verse? Balavan Indriya Grama. What does Bala mean? Strength. Balavan, full of strength. Indriya, senses, Grama. Vidvan, what does Vidvan mean? Someone who is full of knowledge. Vidyavan. Ivahikarshati. That even someone who, the senses are so strong that even a knowledgeable person can have his intelligence taken away by the senses. If he contemplates sense objects. So here, Ahalya, that's what happened. But she became purified actually by the touch of the lotus feet of Lord Ramchandra later on. Well, she joined her husband, that's what's described. Yeah, she was like something like several thousand years she had to remain like that. And then she went to her husband after, he accepted her back after she was purified. It's a heavy story, huh? But so in other words, we have to avoid getting attracted to things in this world because we can get deviated very quickly. I mean, she was a very chaste lady. In fact, she's cited as the one of the most chaste ladies, but her intelligence was deviated. And that's why she got cursed. And Gautama Rishi understood that. It's heavy. I mean, we don't want to hold anyone up to that same standard. Okay, we have to end. We have a tight schedule. Okay, so we told some stories. Is that all right? All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai, Srila Bhagavatam, Ki Jai, Gaur Premananda.